Parenting on Moncrief. Thanks to ReproMed, IVF and fertility experts with clinics nationwide. Begin your fertility journey at ReproMed.ie.
Joanna Fortune, whose fault it is I completely missed my cue at the start of the show, is with us once again because we were yakking, as you do. Joanna, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I take full responsibility.
Yes. Right, first question is this. How can I motivate my six-year-old son to tidy his room? I know he's just a kid and everyone has this issue, but I'm worn out telling him to clean up his toys, etc. Our house is small and it would be great just to have some sort of system whereby I don't have to constantly nag him to tidy up. I also want him to start taking a little bit of responsibility. Any thoughts, or is he too young for this?
I mean, there's a few things in this, because I often think with these kinds of things that come up for every parent, you're right, like this is a universal. Every parent's going to have this conversation over and over and over with their child. But it's almost when the parental want, I want you to tidy up so that the space is manageable for me, clashes with the child's need. That is not remotely interesting. I have no desire to tidy up. I like chaos. I like playing in mess. And developmentally, that's important for them. So, but at the same time, boundaries, limit setting. And yes, he is absolutely old enough to be responsible for chores. He may not want to be, but he can be. And that's really important. So I think you've got to flip this in a way that makes it a little more interesting, that you don't get locked into this kind of parental nagging, do it, do it, do it. I think you want to put it a little bit back on him. So I've said before here, there should always be chores that children have to do that they do not get paid for or rewarded for, because part of being in a family is that everyone helps out. And then there can be over and above things that you can use to incentivize behavior or to reward them. So I would be saying to him that he's got to tidy the park, and explain it that if you tidy your room, then we get to go to the park. Okay, so you're using if and then. If you tidy your room, then we get to go to the park. Or if you tidy your room, then we get to go outside and play. Using if and then links it for him. He won't do that himself. So then what you do is give him a second reminder. Check the room. Oh, if you tidy your room, then we get to go to the park. Don't go into a whole consequence piece. Just stick with that script. And on the third time, if the room isn't tidied, then you get to say, thank you for letting me know you don't want to go to the park today. Okay. Yeah. And then when he's annoyed about that, you can say, well, you made a choice and tomorrow you get to make a different choice. And I hope it's a better choice. And you want to hold that boundary in line where you're actually modeling in a doing rather than saying way that this is something he should and can be responsible for. But if and then just allows him to be a part of that process. The other thing that I would do, just to make it a little bit interesting and fun, is that you could consider making tidying his room into a game. Hide something in there, and if he puts X amount of things away, then he gets a clue. And then if he puts another X amount of things away, he gets the second clue. And you make it like a treasure hunt. So you make the tidying up actually a play activity. Because I think it's, again, it sounds like, God, why would you do all that effort? He should just tidy his room. He's 6 years old.
Yeah, it's
and just,
true.
You know, there's so many other interesting things for a six-year-old to do than tidy their room. So I think if you approach it that way, you're going to A, instill responsibility, but also stick within creativity and play.
At the same time, is there any value in, you know, when they're toddlers and they go, I can help. And you go, please, don't offer to help. Is it a good idea, though, to kind of train them into doing that?
Definitely. I mean, children can start doing chores from the age of 2 years old. And it's not like I'm talking about, you know, running some kind of Victorian workhouse here. Yes. But, you know, they really can. It can be something like they can put their toys from the floor to the basket, the toy box, whatever it is. They can carry a soiled nappy and it's nappy bag or whatever way you're doing it to the bin. They can do things and you can say, you know, that was really great. Thank you for helping. And you can start that from 2 years old and grow it up with them. The really hard part about introducing chores is that the later you do it, the more resistance to it and the more negotiation they're going to go, well, why would I do it? What are you going to give me to do it?
Yeah.
Whereas if you make it a part of being in the family, that everyone does this from the youngest possible age and grow it up with them and increase the responsibility gradually, it's really good. And it's really good for independence building as well.
Yeah. I have a 12-year-old boy who is being excluded by his friends at school at the moment. He's gone through a huge growth spurt lately and looks much older. He is head and shoulders taller than the other boys, which makes him stand out. I think this makes him feel left out, and the boys have noticed his difference. I am friendly with some of their mothers, and this is making things awkward. He has told me some of the things they do to exclude him. It's obvious and mean, and he's upset by it. Should I say something to the mothers or let it work itself out?
I mean, it's complicated. I always say, you know, stay out of children's friendships as much as you can and let them work it out. And at the same time, there is a line, and there's a line when something becomes more conscious and targeted, repeated behavior, then it's not something kids can work out themselves and you do need to step in. So I'm not 100% sure where this is around the line, just on this piece of information. But so I would suggest taking the softer approach first, you know, see if you can arrange a kind of play activity situation for him and his friends, this group of friends. I know friends is in inverted commas here, but this group of friends outside of school and, you know, some, doing something they all enjoy. It could be just, you know, going outside and arranging a game of football or whatever it is, but doing something and trying to structure a play opportunity and see how they get on together in that context. I'd also think that it would be worth, because your son is clearly speaking to you about this, wondering with him what he thinks he could do to change or address it, and wondering with him, is there anything that he would like you to do? Because very often children simply want their parents to listen. They want to be heard and they want to know that you've heard them and to support them in working this out and dealing with the associated feelings. Because when we talk about children being mean to each other, rude, mean and bullying are very different things. None of them are pleasant. Like, children being mean to each other is not pleasant, but it may not be bullying. Bullying is about a conscious, repeated, targeted behavior. And this is the bit in this letter that is just jarring with me, because it does sound like persistent targeted exclusion, and that's not okay, and it does need to be addressed directly. So if you feel you can address that directly with the parents of these children because you have a relationship with them, great. If not, and rather than compromise your friendships with anyone in that group, maybe it's something you can bring to the school, given it's happening during school time on school premises, and perhaps the teacher has observed or noticed more information than you might have about this. Because I think, you know, this is such an awkward age when children are developing either very quickly or not so quickly, and big differences in terms of physical appearance, but also emotional growth, are becoming apparent. So we do tend to see a shift and a restructuring in friendship groups because kids are moving at different paces, but that can be really difficult to cope with and manage when you're the kid who's changing, when those around you aren't. So give him a lot of emotional support around the changes he's going through physically at this time as well, because that's hard to be the tallest kid in the group.
It is It's, I suppose, she's not being specific as to what they've done.
No.
And maybe if when you're a parent, obviously you're not in the best position to judge, that's over the line.
That's why I'm saying, like, be really clear if this is just kids going through a phase and there's been a bit of meanness and it's not that nice and it's a bit rude, let's not use the bullying word. But if it is that very persistent, targeted, conscious exclusion behavior, then I feel like that is crossing the line, and that's something that does require parental involvement. But generally my rule of thumb is that for the most part in kids' friendships, listen, help, reflect, support, but stay out of it yourself.
Yeah, and it is tough. But at the same time, he may be like taller than everybody else at the moment, but he'll turn around and then, you know,
over
in 2 months'
break,
time, bang,
yeah,
you know,
totally. Come September, it'll all have balanced
that's
out.
What
sure.
Happens. There's a photograph of me somewhere where I was about that age. I was about 11 or 12, where I had, and it was loads of kids from different schools, but it was some sort of art competition, and they lined everybody up to hold their poster. And like, I was like a good foot taller than everybody else. And they looked like, you know, middle-aged man enters kids' art competition. My 11-year-old has recently started wetting herself. She was toilet trained at 3 and a half, and it all worked fine. I don't remember any tantrums or issues. And now she started wetting herself at night. I don't know why or if something has happened. She gets very embarrassed when I asked her about it. It's happened 3 times in over 2 weeks. She doesn't tell me either and tries to hide it, which means I need to check her bed now to make sure all is okay. I don't want to go down to the pull-ups or anything. I just really don't know how to handle this. Any suggestions?
Yeah, this is an interesting one, because she has achieved toilet training, and it sounds like full toilet training at an appropriate age. And, you know, this parent is saying it worked fine. And with the embarrassment, it sounds to me like she is experiencing shame around this behavior herself, because she's 11 and she'd be very aware. So it's really vital as a parent you reassure her this is not something to be ashamed about, but you're going to work out a solution for it together, and ask her to come to you and tell you when it happens, and you'll help her so that she's not concealing wet bed linen or underwear or pajamas or whatever it is. I'd also want, though, because she's 11, that you sit with her and wonder if anything has changed, even something small, maybe with friends in school, a new teacher, you know, even in hobbies outside of school. Has there been any change. And again, try to think about this from the perspective of a developing child, because what is an insignificant change in our adult world could be monumental for a young child. So just try and think about it, like even a small change could have made a huge difference to her. So try to get to the root of that. Though, to be honest, when something like this happens at this kind of age, seemingly out of the blue, and if there is no, you know, apparent emotional trigger, even if there is, I'd consider bringing her to the GP to ensure there's no UTI, to be honest, that she hasn't got a little infection and that that might be part of the issue. So I love to rule out the physical before we decide it's psychological. So I would do that straight away. Talk to her teacher to see if anything's happened or if she's observed anything in school. Teachers are often in a really privileged position to notice things that you might not be able to pick up at home, and make a plan with her that you're going to do a no drinks after a certain time to help her. And her part is that she's going to practice for you going to the toilet when she wants to, when she feels the need to. And when she thinks she's done, she's going to stand up, count to five, and sit back down, just to ensure she's fully emptying her bladder. And that's more to let her know that there are some practical things that you can do together. But in the background, my first port of call here would be a GP visit.
Yeah. Given her age, might there be some connection between that and menstruation? I don't know.
Again, hard to know. And, you know, again, I'd want to know, is she having any other symptoms like tummy aches or discharge or anything like that? So, again, I think a GP visit would be really useful.
Absolutely. On the subject of asking, well, the question was about a six-year-old, asking a six-year-old to tidy their room. I asked my son, who was five, to clean his room. He basically took everything from his room that he could carry and drag and put it into my room. I mean, everything. I only managed to make work for myself. I wish I'd never asked. Margaret says, I gave up asking my 16-year-old daughter to clean her room. It was when two mice were found roaming around in her mess and filth that she freaked out enough to keep her room clean. Those mice were the best thing that ever happened to her.
Did you put the mice in there?
You're putting ideas in people's heads. Right, okay, we do have to take a break after that. Swearing in front of her daughter.
Parenting on Moncrief. Thanks to ReproMed, IVF and fertility experts with clinics nationwide. Begin your fertility journey at ReproMed.ie.
53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cents. Joanna Fortune is still with us. On the subject of the 12-year-old who was having a tough time at school because he's obviously gone through a bit of a growth spurt, our son stands at almost 6 foot. At 13 years of age, he was bullied by his so-called friends. We asked the parents to come to the table to get it sorted, but they refused. Sometimes behaviour is learned, though somebody else says the way I look at it is that I would really want to know if my child was being a bully. I look on other parents the same way. If they don't want to hear it and our friendship was to be compromised, so be it. They're not of the same mind as me, hence the friendship probably wouldn't last anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, this was the definition of what's bullying. It's quite a charged term now.
This is it. It's why I do always like to, is it rude, mean, bullying? Bullying should absolutely be responded to quickly. And rudeness and meanness is something we really want to empower our kids to address and solution-focused approach themselves with your support. Mm. But I do think we shouldn't be jumping into absolutely everything or slapping a label that it doesn't require on it. And if it is bullying, get on top of it quick.
On the subject of the 11-year-old wetting the bed, my 11-year-old girl wet the bed twice in a few weeks. Turns out she had a dream that she was going to the toilet and she went in real time too.
Yeah, yeah. That, in that very deep, deep sleep, it's her physical cues coming into her dream material. Yeah.
Is that like a chicken and egg thing though, in the sense that, because normally that would wake you up.
She probably does wake in the middle of wetting herself, but she's already wetting herself in waking.
I did the worst thing ever and swore in front of my daughter. It was a very heated conversation on the phone that got me very riled up. I used the F word and the C word, which I'm especially ashamed of. I never use that word normally, but I was so angry. I thought my daughter was asleep in the back of the car, but alas, she heard every word. Now she has started using those words. She even used the C word at school. I'm angry with myself. I've told her never to use those words, but that only made it worse. Please tell me what to do. My wife is furious. furious with me too. She's 5 and a half, by the way. I assume that's your daughter, not your wife.
Yeah. Oh God. Although this might be where, you know, this parent is on their way to the so-called naughty step at this stage. I mean, how do you put close the door when the horse is bolted here? But I think there's a couple of nuggets in here that you could use to go to her. First of all, she's 5 and a half. She is capable of cause and effect. She can do some very basic linking of when you do this, this happens as a result. So I would also say she is perhaps enjoying the high level of focus and attention and heated reaction those kinds of words get. But children repeat things as a means of understanding. And young children are not, generally speaking now, and very much generalizing, they're not accustomed to overhearing their parents in such a heightened state of arousal like this this parent is describing. You know, like, I'm driving the car, I'm having a very heated discussion, I'm super angry, and this is what comes out. So in order to go, wow, what was that about, they may seek to repeat what they've heard as a way of understanding it. Now, all of that said, you've got to stop it, because this is just going to run and run otherwise and cause all kinds of problems. I'd start by sitting down and apologizing. Tell her you got it wrong, that you lost your temper and that you used those words in anger, and it is never okay to use those words. Explain about your angry part having gotten too big and you lost control, and that's when those words came out. Tell her she is not allowed to use those words at home or outside of home, and that you're going to help her remember the rule. But you've stated clearly you're just not allowed to use those words. Mm. And tell her you're not either, that you're going to try to do better too. Repeat it to her over a few days. If she uses the words, give her a chance to self-correct by saying, oh, I think you forgot the rule about how we don't use those words. Do you want to try that sentence again? And encourage her to say it without those words. And then on a third time, I'd move to consequences and say, if you keep using those words, then this is going to happen, because you've really laid the groundwork. But I think you've got to start by owning it and saying, mea culpa, I was wrong. I got this terribly wrong and I'm really sorry. And you must have heard me say something that you should never have heard.
Yeah, because I mean, why have consequences for the child if you're
saying
it, Daddy?
Oh no, I think you have to take responsibility here, because otherwise what you're basically saying to her is, I can lose my temper and use those words, but you can't use them at all. Mm. And children are going to go, well, that makes no sense.
Yeah, it's true. Wow. Using the C word at school, that must have been an electric moment.
I'm imagining that was a fabulous phone call to get. We need to
really
talk to you after school today. Yeah.
My daughter is 20 months old and is yet to say any words. Well, the question we just had, she babbles loads, but no real words yet. I'm getting very concerned.
Yeah, I mean, look, most children develop language at their own pace, and what is viewed as normal language acquisition is quite a broad area. Okay, so like, I think we think they must have this by this and they must have this by that age. So that most of them are going at their own pace. But that said, a child can be viewed as a so-called late talker if they have, say, less than 10 words by the age of 18 to 20 months, which is where you're at, or fewer than 50 words between 21 and 30 months of age. My big thing on this would be, do you feel she understands when you speak to her, when you give her an instruction? Does she show she understands by following through or complying with it? For example, if you say, hand me the teddy, give me the truck. Mm. If you say that, can she understand and show her understanding by complying with it and giving it to you? Because then she's getting the language, she's comprehending it, and you're looking at, she's not repeating it back to you or speaking. When you say she babbles, I'd wonder, is that including at least a discernible kind of mama, dada? Can you make any sounds? Because that counts. That counts as a word. But I'm a fan of always seeking reassurance for these things through professional consultation. At 20 months, developmentally, you're going to get called through your health system, your local health centre, for her developmental check at 24 months, or very soon after, maybe a month after she turns two. So if you could wait till then, they're going to send you a form in the post with your appointment that asks you all about language, and you can fill it out there and address it at that appointment. If you're thinking, no, I'm really anxious about this, I don't want to wait another 4 or 5, maybe 6 months, then you could actually contact your public health nurse and ask for a referral to the early years team, particularly for a speech and language consultation.
Yeah, okay. My 14-year-old was ill after Christmas, has missed a lot of school because of it. She's fully better now, but she's completely fallen behind and struggled to keep up with the other kids. She's in second year, and we're going into third year in September. We saw how stressful the last weeks of school were with exams, and she told us that she didn't do very well in them. We asked her if she thinks she's too far behind and would need to redo the year. We are going to need to talk to our principal, but now she's very worried about being separated from her friends. Maybe she can make up the lost time over the summer, but I don't know what is best for her going forward. I also don't want to upset her and have her stay back and be miserable. Any advice would be greatly appreciated.
Gosh, I mean, the priority here is her physical health and well-being and making sure that she is physically well and recovered, and then attending to the emotional impact of missing so much school and even missing all of that time with her friends while she was off sick. I would say I would sit down with her because she's 14 and she's old enough. Tell her that you'd like to support her staying in with her friends, but it might mean that she has to take extra classes or grinds over summer. And I don't want to suppose that parents can fund that either. So I'd be also reaching out to the school and seeing, is there anything or an arrangement with teacher that you can come to? Or can they put you in touch with a college student who might be able to do this, or a teaching student who wants practice hours? I'm just trying, you know, maybe there's a cost effective solution that's worth exploring. But it would explain to her, it would mean giving up certainly a portion of her summer to school assignments and classes, maybe 2 to 3 days a week. It still allows plenty of, you know, free time, but she would have to give you that commitment. Now, all of that said, I'm really glad to hear you're going to talk to her principal and teachers about this, because they're in the best place to make this decision with you, because they're going to know. I don't know, when you say she missed a lot of school, what's a lot?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how much of the curriculum did she miss. They will, and they're going to be able to say to you, look, she has missed a significant portion of the syllabus that is going to affect her third year experience and her ability to sit the junior cert. We recommend she repeat the year. Or they're going to say, no, we think with support she can close these gaps and catch up, but here's what we'd need to do in terms of assignments and workload. So it may take a collaborative approach, but I would say going to the school is the best thing to do. If the decision is that she repeat the year, then you're going to have to sit with her and really try and support her through. It doesn't mean you can take away how disappointing and difficult and worrying that is, but you can help her with those feelings and say, yeah, it is. This isn't ideal. Mm. But the priority here is that you get well and that you get the best time in school that you can possibly get.
Yeah. Given that she's 14 and it's the junior cert, do they really need to make a big deal out of this?
I don't feel on the day that's in it that I could say something like that.
Okay, fair enough. But, you know, there'll be enough things in the future to be worried about. And she will in time catch up. She's obviously very conscientious.
And diligent. And I think if that's possible, I imagine the school's first reaction is going to be, they're slow to keep kids back, everyone is, that if it can be made up over the summer, it will be.
Yeah. On the swearing parent, one texter says he needs to change his language, obviously, full stop. Instead of the C word, I say cuddles. It's a satisfying to say when angry.
I don't know. I need to hear an example.
Yeah, you stupid cuddles. And no, that sounds like
congratulations. Are a bad thing or something.
Yeah. On the subject of tidying the room, I do the opposite to the treasure hunt. I take something they love to play with out of the room, like their Nintendo Switch. When they tell me they've lost it and need help finding it, I say it's under all the mess and to clean up to find it. They clean up and then place it back in their room. Same principle. I just lie to get my way.
Like reverse psychology.
Lie to get away. Very bad example for life. Joanna,
thanks so much
for coming into us today. We're going to take a short break. After that, schizophrenia.
Parenting on Moncrief. Thanks to ReproMed. IVF and fertility experts with clinics nationwide. Begin your fertility journey at repromed.ie.